The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. Of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Brought to you by the National Cannabis Coalition.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Tuesday, August 21st, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. We are going to have ourselves a really good time today where we have learned, do not slam your brakes on the beach. This is not what you want to do. Yeah, once again, we are coming to you from Rolla J Studios after just running in off the road. It's like a repeat of yesterday. We took Carrie back out to Astoria, Oregon last night, and we stayed the night out in Astoria. Today, we took the opportunity to take our friends from Georgia down the Oregon coast to see the Haystack Rock, a.k.a. the rock in the movie The Goonies, where the pirate ship goes by, because Big Daddy Fink just had to see it. We got Timmy Harris here in the studio again. How you doing, Timmy? Good to see you.
Good, Russ.
And Sharon Ravert's also in the house. How you doing, Sharon?
Hi, Russ. I'm doing good.
So did you enjoy seeing what you saw of the Oregon coast?
It was beautiful. I absolutely love it. I love the mountains and the river and the ocean, and both together in one little bitty space is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. We also saw the Astoria column, a bunch of other stuff. We'll talk about more about that in hour two. Also joining us in the studio, helping out at the engineer desk, we've got Brian the Red hanging out. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Russ.
All right. Now, Carrie is off today because with all this running around we've been doing, she's got to get caught up on work. So she is busy paying the bills. I'll take care of your daily Cannabis Chronicle today. In today's news, all sorts of interesting stories. More catch up on the Seattle Hemp Fest and a story out of Seattle Weekly that pits Keith Stropp, the founder of Normal, against Steve Sarich, the founder of No on I-502. Got to tell you about that one. Also a story coming out of Houston, Texas, where the DEA has raided some upscale neighborhood homes. We'll talk about that a little bit. In High Times magazine, we have got a list of the top 20 higher education colleges, so to speak, and we've got good news for some of our friends here in the state of Oregon. And then from the world of the 1%, Forbes magazine and the Wall Street Journal, both looking at the legalization of marijuana and coming up with some pretty surprising answers. We'll take care of that in our daily Cannabis Chronicle right after this first break. Then at 20 after, we get to your daily Toker Tunes. And for today, we're going to bring you some electronic dance music as we always do. But this is, well, I guess it's live. I guess you can call it live, even though it's all electronic. Live DJ from the Dance Safe stage at Seattle Hemp Fest on Sunday. I'm going to give you a view from behind the DJ booth. You can kind of see what's all involved in the work that he's doing there. And then we step around for in front of the DJ booth. You'll get to see the crowd that's dancing and the fun that they had at the Seattle Hemp Fest. And then we've got more speeches from Seattle Hemp Fest, more stuff to bring you from some of the greatest activists in the marijuana movement. My good friend Tanya Davis from Ohio. We're going to bring you backstage interview with her. Then we've got Sarah Frank and the aforementioned Sharon Ravert on stage at the Seattle Hemp Fest. And then we're going to end it up with Jody Emery on today's show from Seattle Hemp Fest. So all those, plus some speeches in hour two. We've got Charles Lynch, the dispensary owner from Morro Bay, who's been fighting the good fight, and Jeff Steinborn from the Normal Legal Committee and the Normal Board of Directors. All of that, plus more discussion with our friends from Georgia and your calls at 971-533-7222. 7111. It's the Russ Belville Show. Stick around. We got plenty more right after this.
Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word Russ to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's Russ to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Well, I say little recollect, darling, your words to fails. Little recollect, you need a love that's gonna lay.
I have a package here for Radical Rick. Is there a Radical Rick here? How about a Rick Russ? Any Rick Russ? Somebody named Freddie Farrakh has sent him a package. Anybody? What is that? Smells like a skunk. Help us legalize it. Text NCC to 420-420 and send $10 to the National Cannabis Coalition. Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, ganja sacrament, consumer cannabis. The topic of marijuana is heating up the news, and the Russ Belville Show catches you up with today's latest headlines. Now, here's our senior news editor, Cannabis Carey, with the Daily Cannabis Chronicle.
Cannabis Carey can't be with us today. I'm Radical Russ with your Daily Cannabis Chronicle. The DEA raids upscale Houston homes. Early this morning, dozens of homes in Houston, Texas were subjected to coordinated raids by teams of narcotics officers. More than 40 homes were hit in connection with a drug ring investigation of upscale homes in the Houston area where indoor marijuana growing operations were producing high-grade marijuana. The raid shocked neighbors who said they were completely unaware that marijuana cultivation was taking place in their quiet neighborhoods. Some neighbors had their suspicions about some of the raided homes. One neighbor reported that a white Mercedes came to the home every morning, but drove into the garage so she never saw him outside of the car, then stayed for an hour, and then left. The Houston DEA office said the sweep was in response to an expanded presence of Vietnamese marijuana growers in the area. The agent in charge of the Houston DEA, Javier Pena, said that they had already raided 41 homes today when they found growing marijuana. He reported that all the houses were linked into a major Vietnamese organization specializing in marijuana growing using residential homes and that had 10 suspects were in custody. The houses that were rented with the plan of growing pot had been rewired to bypass electric meters in the homes in hopes of escaping the suspicions of the power company. Agents came prepared with trailers to haul all of the growing marijuana, lights, and equipment. Now called evidence. A DEA agent standing outside of one home they were raiding said there were hundreds of plants inside. One of the typical homes rented for $3,500 a month. This is the latest in arrests of Vietnamese Americans connected with growing operations. In January, a 32-year-old man was arrested in an upscale rental with 587 plants and $92,000 in cash. As in many cases, the landlords were unaware of the illegal activity on their properties. Well, this is naturally to be expected. I don't suppose that there are too many upscale Houston neighborhoods where they have beer distilleries going on, you know, beer brewing going on in a lot of these upscale homes, or cigar manufacturing going on in any of these upscale homes. But the reason why this is happening is because these gangs that are, you know, pretty savvy have figured out that when they go plant in the national forest, some hiker trips on that and ruins their grow operation. Or when they try to use some of the lower scale neighborhoods or some of the warehouse districts or whatever, that has a little bit more police attention. What better place to grow marijuana in a clandestine way than an upscale neighborhood, gated communities where anybody who looks suspicious is going to get the attention of police. And so long as you look like you belong there, no one would think twice about the marijuana that you're growing there. And as far as these $3,500 a month rents, that's nothing when you're growing hundreds and hundreds of plants in a continuing marijuana growing operation. When I hear a story like this, when there's grow houses being found in these residential neighborhoods, especially the more upscale residential neighborhoods, there's a part of me that kind of feels good about it. It makes me think that maybe if these things start getting the attention of people in the gated communities and these upscale neighborhoods and showing them how prohibition even affects them, that their neighborhoods would not even have anything to do with marijuana, would be nowhere near marijuana if it weren't for the prohibition that makes it lucrative, that makes it a good way of hiding risk by hiding in these gated communities. Maybe then when we get their attention, we can get their attention on changing this law and putting the marijuana growing where it belongs, in the hands of regulated businesses, in places that are zoned for agricultural and zoned for industrial and zoned for this kind of use. We don't want to have just beer brewing plants anywhere in our neighborhoods, or we don't want to have, you know, toxic waste manufacturing. I mean, there's things where this stuff belongs. And it's only because we've abdicated any sort of control of this. We've given up trying to regulate where it should be grown and instead tried to prohibit it. And all you do when you prohibit it is you hand over that lucrative market to criminals who could care less where they grow. They're going to grow it wherever they can, wherever they can get away with it, including your upscale Houston neighborhood. More reporting on the Seattle Hemp Fest that took place this weekend. This from the Seattle Weekly's blogs. Nina Shapiro writes, Keith Strupp, Normal founder, says divisiveness over I-502 is worst he's ever seen. Washington, D.C. lawyer Keith Strupp founded Normal, one of the nation's leading organizations advocating marijuana law reform, in 1970. So he's been working this issue a long, long time. And he's seeing something new in Washington state. It's not good. Quote, never has an issue divided our community like 502, he said during a debate at HempFest this weekend, speaking about the initiative that would legalize and regulate marijuana. The local divisiveness reached farcical proportions over the last week when a new group formed to oppose 502, at least that's what the press was told, and its media director was fired at the inaugural press conference, a press conference crashed by members of a rival opposition group. The new group, Safe Access Alliance, then dissolved. Vehement sentiments were also on display at HempFest. Many in the crowd wore either yes or no on 502 buttons. Heated debates often broke out at the 502 booth, which was located just yards away from two separate booths advocating the initiative's defeat. That's when people stopped to talk. Some just walked by yelling, no on 502. In an interview with SW, Seattle Weekly, Strupp partly blames the infighting on I-502 opponents, some of whom he calls kind of crude. We're at a tipping point, he told the HempFest crowd. For the first time, we have won the hearts and minds of a majority of the American public. He points to national surveys showing a majority of support for marijuana legalization. So what is needed is for one or two or three states to stand up to the federal government and to say, to hell with you. Reached yesterday, Steve Sarich, head of the official No on 502 group, showed no indication of toning things down. Quote, Keith Strupp is a sleazy bastard, Sarich said. He claims Normal just wants to pass I-502 so it can go back to its funders and, quote, say that it passed something in Washington, end quote. Well, I can tell you, it did get pretty fractious, pretty contentious at that Yes on 502 booth. I spoke with the volunteers, the young people that were working there. And after 3 days, you could see they were almost like combat veterans, what they had put up with people yelling at them, harassing them, giving them all sorts of grief for standing up for legalization. It was kind of one of the most amazing things that I'd ever seen before. And as far as Steve Sarich goes, you know, we were at the normal booth when Steve Sarich walked by, and Keith Stropp was just kind of, you know, he was busy doing something when he heard his name called out, Keith, Keith. And he looks up and sees Sarich, and Sarich just says, fuck you, and holds up a finger. So that's the kind of opposition we're dealing with here, the kind of name-calling and professionalism that's involved by some people. Now, to be fair, don't want to mischaracterize it, this is not all of the people on the No on 502 side or all the people that are opposed to 502. I had some very pleasant interactions with Philip Dotti, the aforementioned press secretary who was fired at that Safe Access press conference. He was a very... very nice gentleman. We had good conversations. Don Skakey was a fantastic gentleman as well. Even though we disagree on this, I thought his framing of the issue was fantastic, talking about how we need to all come together after 502, no matter what happens, to continue to improve legalization in Washington State. And, you know, there were others as well. Dr. Gil Mobley and I got a chance to discuss DUID science, and we're going to have him on the show, and we'll talk a little bit about that, too. So don't want to mischaracterize this as being all the No on 502 people, but there was certainly a number of them that were, you know, just over the top and had taken this a little too far. I just hope in these final few months that we remember that while we may disagree on the particulars of how to legalize, we all agree on legalizing. Let's concentrate on what we agree with and work together to get this freedom we all deserve. New in High Times Magazine, we've got the 2012 High Times Guide to Higher Education. It's the annual list of the nation's top campuses for marijuana activism and honoring top student activists. This is in conjunction with the Allies at Students for Sensible Drug Policy. High Times is proud to present our annual ranking of America's top institutions of higher education when it comes to marijuana activism. With medical cannabis laws spreading rapidly nationwide and full legalization on the ballot in three states, Colorado, Washington, and Oregon, this November, students have been playing a vital role in ending the war on pot. So we'll now go to our look at the top schools. Number five in marijuana activism, Piedmont Virginia Community College, Charlottesville, Virginia. Though less than a year old, the Piedmont Virginia Community College SSDB chapter, led by Jordan McNeish, in conjunction with the UVA Law Chapter, proposed a marijuana decriminalization resolution to the Charlottesville City Council. Unfortunately, the council didn't pass the resolution, but they did make their own recommendation to the Commonwealth of Virginia to consider decriminalizing marijuana statewide. Number four, Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island. Brown SSDP students spent their weekends traveling around Rhode Island to canvass neighborhoods in support of two bills in the state legislature that would decriminalize possession of up to an ounce of marijuana. They provided testimony before Rhode Island lawmakers during the House and Senate committee hearings this March. Drummer got tired. Number three, Oregon SSDP, a coalition of SSDP chapters from University of Oregon, Oregon State University, Lewis and Clark University, Lewis and Clark Law School, Portland State University, Reed College, Western Oregon University, that's our own Calico Castile's school, and Chemeketa Community College, worked together to host the 2012 Cannabis Law Reform Conference in Portland, which ended with a joint resolution in support of IP24, which would legalize adult use of marijuana statewide. They've been collecting signatures to put it on the ballot ever since. Number two, Northeastern University in Boston, Massachusetts. Northeastern's SSDP chapter organized and helped pass a campus-wide ballot initiative that effectively changed their drug and alcohol policy to equalize marijuana and drinking possession by those who are underage at the administrative level. They also won an outstanding chapter award at the 2012 International SSDP Conference. And the number one college chapter in the 2012 High Times Guide to Higher Learning is... number one, University of Connecticut, the Huskies of UConn, at their SSDP chapter have led the pack this year, a Wolfpack pun, in reforming marijuana policy both on and off campus. Most notably, they played a huge role in helping pass medical marijuana legislation in Connecticut by hosting rallies, coordinating student lobbying efforts, and testifying before lawmakers. No wonder UConn won the Campus Change Award at the 2012 International SSDP Conference in Denver this March. All of these rankings are available from the latest High Times magazine and online at hightimes.com. Other schools in the listing include Georgia State State University, West Virginia University, University of Cincinnati, Florida State University, Virginia Commonwealth University, SUNY New Paltz in New York, Lynn State Technical College in Missouri, University of Southern California, Los Angeles, University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, Ithaca College, Ithaca, New York, Roosevelt University, Chicago, Illinois, University of Rhode Island, University of Colorado Boulder, University of New Hampshire, and the University of Colorado Boulder School of Law.
It's 420 back in Idaho, where Russ and Carrie were born. So we have to go connect with our Russ. You know what I mean? Please support these sponsors who support the Russ Belville Show.
All right, we're going to take a short little break here. And when we come back, some live electronic dance music, if there is such a thing, from the HempFest Dance Safe Stage for your Electric Tuesday. And in hour two, we'll talk about that Forbes and Wall Street Journal story that we didn't have time for right here in hour one. Stick around. It's the Russ Belville Show. Back after this.
I don't like it personally, but it's time for a conversation about legalizing marijuana. It's a multi-million dollar industry in Washington State, and we get no benefit. What if we regulate it? Have background checks for retailers, stiff penalties for selling to minors. We could tax it to fund schools and healthcare, free up police to go after violent crime instead. And we would control the money, not the gangs. Let's talk about a new approach, legalizing and regulating marijuana.
Sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization, regulation, and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President.
Well, I think this is an entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Name the time and place, Mr. President. Radical Russ has been prepping for this debate full-time since 2005. The Russ Belville Show. Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Electric Tuesday, featuring the latest in electronic dance music and other cutting edge genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our daily Toker tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your daily Toker tune.
All right, welcome back, everyone. On this Electric Tuesday, I got to admit, you know, my opinion of electronic dance music has never been that great, right? I always thought it was just, you know, a bunch of beats thrown together. And you know, as a professional musician who played, you know, woodwinds and brass and string instruments, I always kind of felt that music needed to be something played with an acoustic type of instrument. I mean, you could electrify it, you could amplify it, but unless there was a human involved, it really wasn't music. Well, my mind got changed this weekend when I went to the Dance Safe stage and I saw this young man, and my apologies for not getting your name, the DJ who's at work here, but after seeing him from behind and watching him do his thing, I got to give him some credit. There's a lot of musicality involved in this. So, two views here. This is from behind the DJ booth at the Dance Safe stage at Seattle Hemp Fest Sunday. And then after this, you'll get a shot from in front of the DJ booth when he starts pulling some really jazzy swing stuff that I enjoyed. So, enjoy this. Dance Safe stage, Seattle Hemp Fest, for your Electric Tuesday.
Oh. Dear Mom, when I was in college, I used to drink a lot. It was kind of crazy. But now that I'm older, I prefer to use marijuana. It's less harmful to my body, I don't get hungover, and honestly, I feel safer around marijuana users. I hope this makes sense, but if not, let's talk. I love you.
You have reached the answering machine of the Libra Lounge. For replays of the lounge, please press thelibralounge.com or ncr420.com. To hear Mr. Libra's latest history lesson, press 2. And finally, press 3 if you've got something to say, bitches.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's 33 after the hour, and you know we've been working hard here since we got back from Seattle Hemp Fest, just unpacking a lot of the videos. So for the rest of this week, we're going to be bringing you all sorts of highlights of some of the panels, some of the speakers, some of the booths, the music that was going on. It was 3 days. It was just a wonderful festival, despite you know the drama going on over I-502. I have to always remind ourselves that that's inside baseball. That's those of us that are really intense. Into the movement, and for most of the people that are going there, it's just a good time and a celebration of the freedom that we need to spread all across the United States and the world. So we'll keep bringing you more of that, and we've got more of it coming up here on the Russ Belville Show. In hour two, we're going to give you some speeches from Jeff Steinborn, the normal legal committee and the normal board of directors. One of the board of directors, one of two of the 15 who live in the state of Washington. We'll get his opinion on I-502. Also, Charles Lynch from Morrow Bay, the dispensary owner who's fighting the federal government. Also, we'll have more videos. Going to get some Ed Rosenthal for you from the main stage, and we'll see if we can't pull up some more music from the Hemp Fest. So check that out coming up here later on Hour 2 in Toker Talk Radio. But right now, I want to get to the activist agenda, and one of my good friends, I've been running into Tanya Davis for years now on the activism circuit. I see her all over the country. She has been working hard in the state of Ohio with just about every, I believe she's on the board or an advisory member of every normal chapter out there. Nobody works harder to try to bring medical marijuana legalization, to the state of Ohio than Tanya Davis does, and she's one of the favorites at HempFest. Going to bring you this video here. This is Tanya and I backstage at Seattle HempFest. I hope you enjoy.
Hi, everybody. We're backstage at McWilliams with Tanya Davis.
Again,
it's you know, when you come to Hemp Fest, it's kind of like a family reunion sometimes, because there's people that live in Ohio and Michigan and Boston and Florida and Georgia, and then you all meet in one place, and then next thing you know, we're at the next one. So
it's like coming to a family reunion.
Yeah. So how you doing?
I'm hanging out. How are you?
I'm fantastic. You know, it's funny. Here we are meeting back here in Seattle. I had to drive to Seattle to see my friend from Ohio when I was just in Ohio. It was the strangest thing. So how are things going for Ohio? I know you've been fighting for medical in Ohio forever.
And, oh my gosh, yeah, the last decade.
Yeah.
It's been a wild ride.
Yeah.
You know, we've got politicians that just are cowards.
Yeah.
And we have, unfortunately, most people won't get involved until it directly affects them.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and that's the sad part about it, because I think we would already have medical cannabis if folks would just be proactive, you know, instead of reactive.
Yeah. Oh. You know, you speak with the legislators there all the time. You know, do they say things behind closed doors, like, oh, I would support this, but, or if, or...
I'm going to tell you a little story. I was the first person to go visit a particular southwestern Ohio senator. And he says I was his first visitor when he went into office. and he was with me all the way, buddy. Of course, I was his first visitor, too, you know, so he was going to say anything to appease me, I think, at the time. But I really believed him because of how he told me about it, you know, his reaction to the subject of cannabis as a medicine. And he looked at me. He looks at me in the offices, and he would tell me, Tanya, you know I'm with you. Well, about a few years into it, right, I just looked at him, and I go, Senator, can we do something about this now?
How'd you miss that one?
He looked at me, and he says, Tanya, at the end of the day, I have to face my mother and my church. So, at, you know, the bottom line on this is that most of them really, they may care, they may support the issue. But unless it's going to mean they're going to get directly into office or some way politically going to advance them, they're not going to do it. And most of us in Ohio and everywhere, actually, are doing this on a grassroots level. No money. So we don't have the money, Big Pharma. And the folk tobacco. And DuPont and all those other things that have the controlling interest right now because they have the big money.
Now, there is a little bit of good news coming out of Ohio. I understand that end of September, the paraphernalia law changes.
Yes, I think it's September 15th or something like that.
At least by October.
Well, see, Ohio has been very backwards. We've had, you can have up to 3.5 ounces, which is 99 grams. And it's a $100 ticket. But you better not have no papers or a pipe to use it because that's a paraphernalia charge, which will land you in jail.
I've even heard that, like, the baggie itself or even a napkin that a bud is wrapped in have been convicted for paraphernalia.
You've talked to Cher.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there was a gentleman that had a party that went to a Christmas party. Someone gave him a piece of Christmas bud. And he wraps it up in a napkin, puts it in his pocket. Well, these country policemen in some of these counties, you know, that think they're God, whatever, they were pulling over cars coming out of this bar where the party was at. Well, they search him, get him for a DUI. They find the napkin with the piece of bud in there. So they use the napkin as the paraphernalia charge. See, it's just another bargaining tool for the police and the prosecutor. You know, they overcharge you so that they can put you in jail, whatever.
It's like when you're bargaining for a car, you overshoot and then you're going to negotiate down.
You know, southwestern Ohio, where I live, is a completely different bird than up north where Cher lives, near Lodi, Cleveland, Medina, whatever.
Talking about Cher Neufer from
Neufer
from Ohio Normal.
Yeah, our president of Ohio Normal, yes. The chapter is in Lodi, and she's just amazing. She's been working hard at this for a long, long time, longer than me. But, you know.
So that paraphernalia law, where they've been busting people for these for napkins,
has been up north,
goes away.
Yes. What it's going to do is going to be a $100 ticket for the paraphernalia as well as the cannabis charge.
Okay, so just basically making the fine worse when you get caught with your weed and papers.
You know, but if people would just be responsible, I don't think you're going to have a whole lot of worry. You know, if you're driving down the road and you're passing a joint around the car and the windows are down or the windows are up and it's all smoky, I suggest you might rethink that because the DUI laws are really bad there, you know. But if you do it responsibly, you know, my advice to folks that want to use it, regardless if it's medicine or not, is if you get the urge that you have to do it, pull over. Get out of the vehicle. I'd rather take that chance than get pulled over in the vehicle and have the cop have to search my car, call the drug dogs, you know, do all that inconvenient stuff.
Now, you know, speaking of driving around, here you are in Washington State with a gut legalization initiative on the ballot, and everybody's talking about DUIs.
Oh, my gosh.
Coming from Ohio, what do you think? I mean, how does that discussion?
We've had our DUI laws a long time. Like I said, I think it's personal responsibility. You know, yes, there are going to be the rogue cops that are going to go out and might try to harm folks. But now, coming from Ohio, and guys, I'm not taking sides. All right, I am not taking sides here in Washington, so please hear that.
Fair enough.
Ohio, right now, we'd be happy with being allowed to, you know, not be afraid of our doors getting kicked in. So, I just say handle it responsibly, you know. You know if you're impaired. You know if you are too high to drive. You know, just don't do it. I realize the risks are there. And my advice to you is to just change that part of the law. But to make it available to where no one goes to jail if you're an adult. I just like that idea. But no one deserves to go to jail for... They're not... That shouldn't happen. But I also see why people are unhappy about it. Okay? I see both sides. The patients have waited a long time for their medicine. They want to be able to keep their medicine. I get that. And they don't want to be punished for using it. But again, be responsible.
Well, thank you, Tanya. And I'm going to go see if I can catch a little bit of Sarah.
All right. Thank you.
What's up, dude?
Hey, dude.
I'm hoping they can.
California, for medical marijuana patients under state law. And they have both had their babies taken from them for testing positive for THC. And to me, it is more harmful to remove a child from its mother than marijuana could ever be. It's non-toxic. It's not going to hurt anybody. And we need to be talking about this instead of destroying our families and traumatizing our children. These girls have lost months with their newborn children, a time when babies have a bond with their mothers because of these archaic laws. Children are being traumatized all over the world. Right here I have Sharon from Georgia, who has quite a story about her daughter and how the drug war has affected her. I'm going to let her tell you that story here in a second. But she's lucky, and she listened to her story. I want you to see how lucky her daughter is, and how there are people out there who aren't as lucky as her. Georgia. Georgia.
Hey guys, happy Hip Fest! Came a long way to see y'all. I'm from Georgia. My name is Sharon Rayburn. I'm with Georgia Moms for Marijuana, and I'm going to give you a brief story of what happened to my daughter. She had a few friends over, just like you guys out there, just sitting around partying in the basement. I'm an open mom. She's 19 years old. I didn't lie to my kid about pot. I didn't want her to look at me when she tried pot for the first time and say, huh, my mama lied to me. I think I'll go try some, I don't know, heroin or meth or a little coke or let me pop this pill or, you know what I'm saying? I didn't want her, I wanted to be able to talk to her honestly. Well, she had these friends over. She's 19, she's in college, she's still living in the basement. One of the boys leaves. He gets busted in town, 10 miles from my house. But the fact that he was in my house and they knew he had been in my house from another friend telling them where they were and I own a business and all he had to say was, oh, we were over here at blah, blah, blah. Okay? They came back to my house 6 hours later with 8 SWAT members and they pulled my kid out of bed with a gun to her friggin' head. Okay?
Sweet.
She was facing, after 3 hours of searching my house, they found 1.5 grams. I see that in everybody's hand right now almost. I can look out here and say, everybody's probably got that much. She was facing 26 years in jail for having a bomb, two pipes, an old grow light that happened to be mine, by the way, okay, was not growing anything and had not in probably 15 years. I don't even know why I had it. But honestly, she was facing 26 years in jail, and the only thing that kept her from that was $15,000. If you pay to get out of trouble in Georgia, it's okay. She ended up with a misdemeanor possession charge and did all these things, but it was only because we were willing to strip our savings account and pay for it. I don't want you guys to think that it's not been legal in Georgia. It used to be. Jimmy Carter was the first president of this United States that wanted to legalize it. And we're living under tyranny in Georgia. And all I can say to you guys is please think about, you know, if you don't vote for 502 and you don't vote for the next one, do something. Georgia is begging for y'all. California killed us when it didn't happen there. We don't know what to do. Our children are being arrested. And I look at all y'all and I think how fucking free y'all are. You know what I'm saying? And I'm begging y'all, think hard about your votes in every single town, in every single state on the West Coast, because the first time it happens here, it's coming our way. We just need y'all to do it first, because we're so far behind you. And our kids, not only that, but real quick, I'll tell you a quick one. Right after that happened, 2 weeks later, we had the SWAT team go in on an 82-year-old woman in Atlanta. Her name was Katherine Johnston. It made the national news. She was shot up 30 times by the SWAT team. And you know what they did to make that okay? They planted marijuana in her house, 82 years old. And I looked at my family and my friends and I said, I'm gonna fight this shit. This is ridiculous that it's okay to shoot somebody and then plant marijuana on them and say, oh, well, they had pot. Like, that makes it better. Are you with me? Do you understand? I appreciate you guys. I had no idea I was going to speak here, but I appreciate everybody. Y'all have made me feel so welcome over here on the West Coast. And if you're ever in Georgia, look us up. I know a free place where you can come stay, and it's safe, at my house at least. Thank you, guys. Yes, please. www.momsformarijuana.org. Check us out. If you're a mom, please stand up for your children. Please stand up for them.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's our own Sharon Raver right here. Yay. Chat room's going wild for us, Sharon. Were you nervous?
I was scared. Well, yeah, less.
You were scared less. Okay, we'll just leave it at that. All right, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we've got a special main stage speech from the Princess of Pot, Jody Emery, on the main stage. You're watching our coverage of Hemp Fest here on the Russ Belville Show. Stick around. We'll be right back.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Are you or is someone you know a marijuana smoker? Have you or is someone in your family been arrested for a marijuana violation? You need to know the truth about pot. NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, is the most comprehensive source of information regarding marijuana and its effects on health, as well as legal issues. NORML even offers a database of lawyers specializing in cannabis in your area.
Normal, the nation's largest and most successful marijuana law reform organization, has spent decades gathering the knowledge and science on everything related to cannabis. Normal is the best resource to find out the truth about marijuana, connect with a lawyer in your area, or help find an end to prohibition. Information is available at normal.org. That's NORML.org. Or toll free at 888-67-NORMAL.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical Rant.
All right, folks, you know I wouldn't turn this time in the rant over to just anybody. Our good friend Jody Emery, the wife of imprisoned pot entrepreneur Mark Emery, has become a fixture at the Seattle Hemp Fest, and she always draws a very appreciative crowd, even at this Hemp Fest. We turn things over now to Jody Emery from the main stage at Seattle Hemp Fest.
Another very inspiring hero in our movement is the Prince of Pot, Mark Emery. Some of us work in activism. Some of us suck at activism. Some of us get arrested for our activism. And some of us marry activists and then have to live with them in prison for a long time. And that's what brings up Jody Emery. Jody Emery is Mark Emery's wife. And she has been coming around. She has tried to fill his shoes while he's been gone. And it's, I think he's almost halfway through his 5 years. But she's been having to run Pot TV, Cannabis Culture Magazine, the myriads of other things in the wonderful country of Canada. So let's all hear it. I'm so glad she could come down yet again. Jody Emery.
Thank you so much. Happy Hemp Fest, everybody. Welcome to Seattle's most amazing, enormous event. This is one of the largest gatherings of pot people in the world. And you get to say, I was there. And what you should do, because you got to come here for free, to smoke your cannabis, to heal yourself, to meet other people who love this plant as much as you do, you get to come here for free, but these people put it on for you with thousands and thousands of dollars, hours and hours of activism, and they deserve your support. So, give a dollar. Give at least a dollar. 300,000 people will be walking through this park over the next 3 days. And if you each give $1 back to Seattle Hemp Fest, you're saying, I support the cannabis culture, I support the pot people, I support legalization, and this is an example of what freedom looks like. So Seattle Hemp Fest, keep going 21 years now, and we're gonna see it continue. And there are a lot of activists out there, and one of them is my husband, Mark Emery. Back in 1994, Mark Emery, a Canadian, decided to sell marijuana seeds to people all over the world, anyone, anywhere, to get their medicine, to buy their own and produce their own amongst each other instead of with the gangs. And Mark said, every dollar you spend on marijuana seeds will go back to marijuana legalization. And he was called the Prince of Pot by CNN, and the rest of the world followed Mark Emery as he made marijuana literature legal in Canada, as he made seeds available to people in Canada and worldwide, as he started a revolution, which he said was to plant the seeds of freedom and overgrow the government. Yeah. Grow your own medicine, free yourself. Yeah. Mark Emery donated over $4 million to activists in the United States and around the world. Ballot initiatives in Colorado, Washington, D.C., medical marijuana cases throughout the United States, the U.S. Marijuana Party, and individuals fighting for freedom received seeds and millions of dollars from Mark Emery. He gave it all away. He gave every dollar away, and the Drug Enforcement Administration in 2005 said that Mark Emery had to be arrested in Canada, in his own country, and brought down to face life in the United States federal prison system. They said his arrest was a significant blow to the legalization movement because of all the money he gave. They said that Mark Emery gave away every dollar he had nothing left when they arrested him, because every dollar from every seed sold to the United States and around the world financed freedom activism worldwide. They admitted it. He was facing life. He took a 5-year plea deal, and right now he's in Mississippi. He has under 2 years to go before he gets out, comes home, joins arms with me and every activist in Canada and every activist in America and every activist worldwide to say, stop arresting us. Stop persecuting us. We don't hurt anybody. Stop hurting us. The U.S. federal government and Obama need to stop hurting innocent, peaceful pot people worldwide with the drug war. So you have a responsibility, because you here in Seattle at the world's largest pot festival, here in Washington State, where legalization initiatives are on your ballot, I-502, vote yes for legalization, because the world is watching. The world is suffering from the U.S. drug war, and it's up to you to set the example for the world that the drug war may have started here and spread worldwide like a cancer, but it is going to end here with your action, your strength, your voice. Vote yes on 502 and any initiative, any progress, support it, because people's lives depend on it. They suffer in prison like my husband. They die from sickness without medical marijuana, and they depend on you to make a difference while you're here and you're free. So it's your responsibility here today. If you're free, and you're lucky to be free, because so many aren't, you owe it to people worldwide to end prohibition. If you want to know more about my husband, Mark Emery, who gave millions of dollars to the movement to get you where you are today, go to freemark.ca, Mark with a C, or cannabisculture.com, pods.tv, and remember that while you're free, many people aren't, and they will die lone in prison. So you owe it to them. You owe it to people in the future to end this drug war today. Thank you so much for having me. I'll see you guys the rest of this wonderful event.
All right, that's the amazing Jody Emery speaking at the McWilliams stage. My apologies, that was McWilliams, not the main stage. I do have Jody from the main stage. We'll bring that to you later this week. But right now, we got to go for hour one. For those of you sticking around live for hour two, we've got more great coverage of Seattle Hemp Fest, including speeches from Charles Lynch, Jeff Steinborn from the Normal Board of Directors, Cheryl Schumann from the FX series Wilfred, the technical director of the medical marijuana director, I should say, and other speech, including the guru of ganja, Ed Rosenthal, will be on. So check that out. All coming up here in hour two, Toker Talk Radio, where we'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. I'm Radical Russ for Brian the Red, Big Daddy Fink, and Sharon from Georgia. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is the Russ Belleville Show. The Russ Belleville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.